From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. We do have an exciting show for you today. Musician Ben Folds will be by to play our game. That's exciting. Speaking of musicians, the public radio world was kind of shocked last weekend when musician Jack White, formerly of the White Stripes, he was doing a concert at Radio City Music Hall, and he wasn't getting the kind of response he wanted from his audience, and he yelled, and I quote him, "Jesus Christ, is this an NPR convention?" unquote. And he stomped off the stage. Now, we in the business, we're hurt by this. A little bit, we'll admit it. But then we got a hold of the unedited tape. It was taken by somebody in the audience. Here's the complete statement from Jack White.
"Jesus Christ, is this an NPR convention? No? It's the next building over? All right, then off I go, because I really want to go to an NPR convention."
There you go. Turns out he's one of us. We're having a little mini convention right here. Give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
Lana Perkins.
Hey, Lana.
Hi.
Hi yourself. Where are you calling from?
I live in San Antonio, Texas.
Oh, San Antonio is a great place.
It is.
And we have a squeaky person, it sounds like, who's from there. What do you do there?
Well, I'm retired right now, and I'm studying to be a docent at a local art museum.
Oh, docents are wonderful.
Yes, they are.
My mother is a docent.
I know someone who works with your mother.
Really?
I do.
Is there like a
All
weird
the docents
docent
know
network?
Each other.
I guess so.
Jesus Christ, is this a docent convention?
Well, welcome to the show, Lana. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to the woman behind the Ask Amy column is Amy Dickinson.
Hi,
Amy. Hi, Lana.
Next, a comedian performing at Cobb's Comedy Club in San Francisco, October 19th through the 21st, Mr. Maz Jobrani, right there.
Hello, Lana.
And lastly, a comedian performing at the Mayo Performing Arts Center in Morristown, New Jersey, October 18th, Ms. Paula Poundstone. Lana, welcome to the show. You're, of course, going to start us off with Who's Carl This Time. Carl Castle is going to recreate for you three quotations from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you'll win our prize. Carl's voice in your home answering machine. Are you ready to go?
I am.
Let us do this thing. Your first quote comes from Governor Mitt Romney.
Congratulations to you, Mr. President, on your anniversary. I am sure this was the most romantic place you could imagine here with me.
Governor Romney said those romantic words right before he dropped a smackdown on what big event on Wednesday?
The presidential debate.
Of course, yes, the debate. Yes. We had heard that Mitt Romney had been spending weeks up in Vermont getting prepared for this debate. It worked. You can just imagine the training montage, all those hours running through the hills, carrying logs on his back, gesticulating to sides of beef in a meat locker. So Romney at the debate was quite impressive. He was sharp. He was aggressive without being mean. He was ready with a pithy answer to any of President Obama's meandering statements. This was a new, improved Romney. Romney Vista comes with a kill setting. For the president's part, he seemed bored, detached, tired. He rambled on. He kept looking down at the podium instead of at Romney. What was down there so interesting to him? It turns out he was just looking for his lost fourth capsule of Ambien. He was also probably distracted by the fact that it was his 20th wedding anniversary. That very night, he wasn't taking notes. He was desperately trying to get a rush order from flowers.com on his iPad.
You think Michelle gave him she was upset about the date? It fell on the anniversary, so maybe that's why he was like, I should have thought about
really?
This.
Really? Because right before he went on stage, she's like, fine, if this is how you want to spend our anniversary, you go right ahead. It'll be fine with me. I'll just watch in the audience. Walks out, and then they introduce the president. He's like, oh my God, this is terrible.
That's what happened.
Distracted.
That's
that
what
happens.
Happened.
That happens sometimes. Right? That's terrible. Moderator Jim Lehrer got a lot of criticism for the way he handled or did not handle the debate. Well, you can't blame him because of the debate moderator lockout. The NFL sent a replacement Lehrer who had pretty much only done high school forensic tournaments up to that point.
They should get, like, Alex Trebek to do these things. And then, you know, because you have a buzzer, you know what I'm saying? All right.
Or, like, a small orchestra, the Marine Corps band, to play them off.
Yeah, you know? That would be good. If Alex Trebek did it, they'd have to answer in the form of a question.
That's right.
Right?
Yes.
Right.
What is cut funding for PBS?
Yeah. Your next quote will be from a man expressing his preference for a president.
The best person I can think of, the most ideal person, would be like Bruce Lee.
That was a man interviewed by WBEZ here in Chicago. He's one of a very rare type of person sought after desperately every 4 years. He is a what?
Oh, I just heard it and I forget.
You forget? Well, he's a kind of voter. I'll give you a hint. When he's the kind of person you ask him, well, Coke or Pepsi, he says, I don't know. How about Pepsi?
How about undecided?
An undecided voter, exactly. The rarest but most valuable beast. It seems impossible, but after all these months, if not years of campaigning with Fox News telling us terrible things about the president and MSNBC telling us terrible things about Romney and NPR telling you really interesting things about Brazilian folk music, some people still cannot make up their minds. The guy you heard quoted by Carl, he doesn't like either candidate because they don't have the integrity and wisdom of a martial arts movie star who has been dead for 40 years. Nevertheless, this guy's an undecided voter. Everybody listens to him. Immediately upon the release of that interview, the president started appearing with a nunchuck in his hands, and Mitt Romney attempted to kill his own dressage horse with his bare hands.
They're being sought after in a particular. They're being pandered to in a particular way. I don't know. Despite the fact of the vice presidential elections debates coming up, Joe Biden is spending the weekend camping with some undecideds. And Romney has a thing also this weekend, taking some undecided voters up and down in his car elevator.
Right.
It makes you more desirable.
Yeah.
Who else would talk to this guy who thinks Bruce Lee would make a good president? No one.
Right.
But now this guy's like, I don't know, maybe. And people are like, oh, yeah, whatever you want. But Bruce Lee, we get Bruce Lee. We'll bring him out. No problem.
All right, Lana, your last quote is from a Spirit Airlines ad that came out this week.
We let fares loose, not seats.
Spirit Air was poking fun at one of their competitors. What airline is having trouble keeping their seats bolted down?
American.
Yes, American Airlines this week created a perk for its frequent flyers. Sit wherever the heck you want. The FAA reported that at least three different planes, rows of seats became loose, unbolted from the floor. Was this sabotage by disgruntled workers or just the latest innovation in airline comfort? Hey, you want an aisle seat? No problem. Everybody push. Let's go. Or, this is the best part, if you're clever, you can get an upgrade to first class if you just scooch it forward every time the flight attendant turns around. Oh no, we were always sitting here. Can we have some warm nuts, please? You know.
That's got to be scary if you start out in a window seat and wake up and you're in an aisle seat.
Yeah. This is great. This is maybe our favorite story. Two American Airlines flight attendants in New York, maybe because of the pressure, got into an actual fight in the plane.
Aww, man.
One got on the PA and said, okay, everybody needs to turn off your cell phones, including the other flight attendant. Ooh. And that flight attendant got mad at being called out, and they went at each other. The worst part was when they both grabbed those little bottles of liquor and went smash and threatening them.
Tiny little broken bottles.
Carl, how did Lana do in our quiz?
Lana, you had three correct answers, so you win our prize.
Well done. Congratulations, Lana. Thanks for playing.
Thank you.
Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Maz, according to a study by the Wall Street Journal, a rise in the number of minor injuries to children might be caused by what?
It's not computer related.
It is, actually.
Oh, the parents are not paying attention.
Because they are?
They're driving while being on the phone. Texting.
They're texting while parenting. This is a problem now.
Does no one see it? Do you not see it right in front of your eyes? I cannot... I don't understand the stupid thing with the phones and the iPad and all that stuff. I don't get it. It's right in front of us and we don't see it. You know what I mean? I mean, we live right near a park, and I watch people all day long go by the park doing this here or talking on their phone, you know, while the kid's like, like hanging out of the carriage.
But my mother, anyway, never paid any attention to me, and she didn't even have an excuse.
Yeah.
It was like...
Well, if you get the kids an iPhone, you could text each other at least.
That's true. It's like, Mommy, I fell down a well. But, you know, parents who are too busy with their phones, you're not missing much. It's like, yeah, well, I saw my baby's third step. You know, it looked pretty much like the first.
Well, no, and then the other thing is they have to take pictures of it and put it up, you know? I don't like that either. I'm sick of seeing the happy people's children on the Facebook. I'm just sick of it.
It shouldn't be surprising though. A lot of the parents who are texting while parenting were texting while conceiving as well. So.
Mom and Dad, how'd you get so rad? When exactly did you get so hip?
Thank you so much. It's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play any of our games on the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, I'm Megan Miller, and I'm from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
Hey, how are things in Oklahoma City?
A little cold today, but it's a nice change.
Yeah, you guys were basically incinerated over the summer, am I right?
Yeah, something like that.
A giant field of ash, is
exactly.
What I'm told.
Exactly, yeah. Bingo.
What do you do there?
I work for a nonprofit organization, an audiology clinic.
An audiology clinic?
Uh-huh.
Well, that's because you help people hear.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Great. You're creating listeners for us. We appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, welcome to the show, Megan. You're going to play the game in which you must tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Megan's topic?
Peter, want to look at some slides?
Seasoned travelers like Carl here are always looking for new and better ways to see the world. This week, our panelists are going to tell you about three summer vacations not to be forgotten. Guess the true vacation, you'll win Carl's voice and your home answering machine or voicemail. Ready to play?
I'm ready.
First, let's hear from Maz Joe Brani.
Most people go to Expedia.com to book their vacations, maybe even Travelocity. But soon there might be a new site for adventurous tourists called GetKidnappedByABedouin.com. That's right. Bedouins in the Sinai Peninsula have been kidnapping tourists to hold them for ransom against the government of Egypt. Their demands have been to get fellow Bedouins released. However, whether the government complied or not, these kidnappers have been showing their victims a good time. One tribal leader, Sheikh Ahmed Hashim, was quoted as saying, "It isn't just kidnapping, it is a tourist safari." And the victims agree. Norma Soup, a 63-year-old nurse from California who was kidnapped in February, told the AP, "All of this is an unforgettable memory." Soup was kidnapped with another member of her group, 66-year-old Patty Esperanza. This tourist safari was so irresistible that their guide, Hisham Zaki, even volunteered to go along as a translator. As Zaki later recalled, Esperanza demanded that one of her kidnappers stop smoking. "I told her, 'Are you joking? You are kidnapped.'" But the Bedouin kidnapper cooperated, throwing his cigarette out the car window. At one point, Esperanza recounted, the kidnappers stopped to prepare coffee for the women, but upon learning that Esperanza does not drink coffee, they made her tea.
Getting kidnapped by Bedouins in the Sinai. Your next story of a summer getaway comes from Amy Dickinson.
Emily Mason got tired of leaving her tabby cat Chester behind when she went on vacation. So last summer, she and Chester traveled together to Kitty Corners, the country's first ever resort for cats and the people who can't live without them. Kitty Corners is where the line between feline and human blurs, and visitors experience life as their cats do. Rooms are furnished with giant chairs people can curl up on and human-sized carpeted climbing and scratching posts. In the grooming gallery, cats and their owners are taught to always lick their paws after scratching and mutual grooming techniques. Mason said she and Chester had a good time at the resort, chasing the light from a flashlight across the floor and getting entangled in a giant ball of yarn. She briefly hung from a curtain until her fingernails gave out, and then the two ate salmon and lapped up half and half together at the hotel bar. Then they got high on catnip and passed out in a giant drawer of sweaters. Mason said she'd definitely take her cat again, but there was only one thing she'd change. The litter box experience, I could do without that, she said.
Live. Live with your cat, like a cat, at the Cat Hotel. Your last story of a unique vacation comes from Paula Poundstone.
Electronics enthusiast Tegan Hart had the vacation of a lifetime when he responded to an ad from Asian Pacific Travel Agency to travel to China and custom build his own iPad with expert electronics engineers. Dim sum, the Great Wall, dragon kites, history, cultural exchange, apps, games, games, games. It was all waiting for him. After 2 days of travel, Mr. Hart arrived in Shanghai, where he was greeted by a representative from the travel company and whisked away to the Foxconn Electronics Factory. I thought I was going to assemble my own iPad, but they showed me how to put small components in plastic bags, which I did for several hours. During the dinner break, I tried to order the mushu pork. I don't think they understood me. I was trying to hand gesture the little thin pancakes, and a man hit me with a stick. My Siri kept saying, "Get out of here." But I wasn't able to leave for 3 days. At least I didn't look like a tourist.
All right. One of these surprising and interesting vacations was enjoyed by somebody this last summer. Was it being kidnapped by Bedouins in the Sinai Peninsula of Egypt? From Amy Dickinson, was it staying in a cat hotel and living like a cat? Or from Paula Poundstone, a trip to China to build your own iPad at the Foxconn Electronics Factory? Which of these was the real summer trip?
I think I'm going to go with the kitty corner.
The kitty corner. Does that sound appealing to you?
Not in the least, no, but I think that might be appealing to some, to
All
a certain
right.
demographic, I guess.
So your choice then is Amy Dickinson's story of the hotel that lets you live like a cat with your cat.
I think so.
All right. To bring you the correct answer, we spoke to someone who wrote about this real vacation.
Part of being kidnapped by the Bedouins is actually being treated like a guest and having food and being comfortable and having beverages.
That was Sarah Topol. She wrote about the kidnapping of Bedouins or by Bedouins in an article called Tian Kidnapping in The Atlantic. I'm so sorry, Megan, but indeed Maz had the real and delightful story. And while I'm sure Amy might have just created a whole new segment in the tourist industry, she was lying in her
charming
way.
I'm a little relieved.
We're all a little relieved. But you didn't win, but you earned a point for Amy, which she's very pleased about, I can
tell.
Thank
you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for playing.
Thank you.
The weather's warm, but we'll play it cool. We're on vacation, having lots of fun.
And now the game where talented people use none of their talents. It's called Not My Job. Years ago, musician Ben Folds started a band with his two friends and called it the Ben Folds Five. This was confusing. Did not keep the band from being a huge success. Ben went on to have a solo career, but he has gotten the band back together. Their new album is The Sound of the Life of the Mind. There are still three of them. It's called Ben Folds Five. I don't get it, but Ben Folds, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. So let me start here. Why do you call your band the Ben Folds Five when there are three of you?
We thought it was funny. And judging by the laughter the first time around, which was about three people, it's about how funny it is. But
do people come see you and thought you were the opening act for the actual band?
Or two of us were sick, or there were, you know, there was a stereo track running in the background like there are with a lot of live bands.
Right. For someone who's not familiar with your music, can you describe a typical Ben Folds song? We once heard you describe your music as punk rock for sissies.
That was when we started. We were ourselves carrying a baby grand piano into punk rock clubs. We moved the piano ourselves for 3 years. I never played on anything but that piano. I never played on an electric piano, thanks to the hard work of, you know, my two bandmates, myself and a guy named Trey who was on unemployment.
We all know how you play guitar in a rock and roll way with lots of gestures and facial expressions and pelvic motion. How do you play piano in a rock and roll type way?
Well, I guess you can apply the same pelvic motions, but they're just slightly obscured by the instrument. I mean, I play guitar too. It's a lot more of a physical instrument. The piano is much more physical. Guitar doesn't really require that much, so there's a real art behind making it look much harder than it is.
And we were looking at your early career, and it seemed like you were at the University of Miami studying percussion.
Yeah.
And there's a story that, like, there's the big final exam concert you're going to come out and play, yeah, and you couldn't do it because you broke your hand in a bar fight?
Well, almost. Yeah, my hand was broken. I had stitches in my nose and my lip, but I had to play.
Well, wait a minute. You skipped a bit. How did that happen?
Oh, well, you know, there's this guy who came specifically to mine and my roommate's room to pick a fight with my roommate.
Yeah.
And I guess I stepped in and I shouldn't have. The guy was – I was there on a music scholarship, but this cat was there on a wrestling scholarship. He was also an amateur boxer. So had it been a drum off, he'd have been in the hospital. But it doesn't work that way. So foolish me, I stepped in to try to defend my roommate and ended up in South Dade Hospital for the night. And it was really dramatic. A cop car delivered me back to my drum percussion test jury, where I was forced to play it, even with the broken hand, because if I was a real musician, I would have to show up to my gig and play or be fired. So I flunked that test and lost my scholarship, and I threw my drums dramatically into Lake Osceola in the middle of University of Miami.
Jeez, what? Would they make a basketball player play with a broken hand? That's crazy.
Yeah. I guess that – I wish you'd been there, too.
I know.
I want to talk to you about your image because it is somewhat geeky, is it not?
Well, or so I have read.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you have done stuff to maybe accentuate the geekiness. For example, you went back and got a singer who was famous in the 70s who had faded into some obscurity, and you produced an album for him. Of course, I'm talking about William Shatner.
Yeah.
You actually, because we all grew up listening to William Shatner, you know, the Transformed Man doing Mr. Tambourine Man, and we laughed, and you're like, no, this man needs a new record.
Yeah. Well, I, you know, that record had captured my imagination as a child.
We're talking about William Shatner's famous spoken word sung album, The Transformed Man, with Mr. Tambourine Man and all that great stuff. Okay.
Yeah, that's the same one. We're talking about the same one. But, I mean, I listened to it as a kid. I mean, you might have thought it was funny as a child. And I think a lot of people did, but I really was fascinated with it. I was really into Mr. Tambourine Man, and it was like back-to-back with Cyrano de Bergerac.
Oh, yeah. And Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds?
It was awesome,
And she's gone!
Gone!
Yeah.
And, you know, there aren't many people who you want to listen to when they speak, and that's what fascinated me about him. All these talking heads all over the world, and for some reason, when he talks, you listen.
That's true.
Yeah.
Because you want to wait for the next word.
Yes.
It'll come along eventually. Well, Ben Folds, we're delighted to talk to you, and we've invited you here to play a game.
Okay.
We're calling...
I'll Be Back.
Okay.
That was Carl's Arnold Schwarzenegger right there.
I'll Be Back.
And Carl whipped out his perfect Arnold Schwarzenegger imitation for you, because Mr. Schwarzenegger has a new memoir out. It's called Total Recall, and we're going to make a small bet that you haven't yet read it. Sure, it's on your shelf, but we're hoping you didn't get to it, because we're going to ask you three questions taken from the book. If you answer two of them, you'll win a prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice, on their home answering machine. Carl, who is Ben Folds playing for?
Ben is playing for Kathy Erskine of Charlottesville, Virginia.
All right. Here, Ben, is your first question.
Okay.
As a young man in Austria, Arnold showed a strong interest, of course, in bodybuilding. How did his mother react to this enthusiasm? Was it A, by buying him the heaviest dog she could find in their village so he could pick it up over and over again for exercise? B, going to a doctor to check if he was gay? Or C, lying stiff as a board and allowing him to bench press her?
I'd say probably the taking to the doctor.
Indeed, yes. She went to a doctor.
Right.
And the doctor assured her that the reason that he was putting up pictures of bodybuilders all over his bedroom was nothing untoward. It was just because he had a healthy need for a father figure of some kind. That's awesome. The diagnosis. So there you go. That's one right. That's
all right. Yay.
Yay.
Woo! Go Charlottesville.
There you go. Next question. Arnold's first really big film role, the one that made him a star, was the title role in Conan the Barbarian. How did he prepare for the key scene in which he is attacked by wolves? I'm sure you know it. I do. It's a moving scene. He wrestled for hours prior to the scene to get into it with his matched pair of German shepherds named Gluteus and Maximus. B, he sewed raw meat into his costume. Or C, he lay in the woods until a wolf pack found him and raised him as one of their own.
I'm going to say A.
You're going to go say A. He wrestled for hours with his German shepherds? No, he actually put raw meat in his costume so the wolves would be more excited to jump on him. That's the kind of commitment to his role that Arnold Schwarzenegger had.
Wasn't he concerned that he would actually be eaten?
Apparently not. Who would dare to bite him? All right, this is actually okay because you've got one right with one to go. If you get this, you'll still win. At the end of the book, Arnold, very successful man, offers you some of his slogans for success, including which of these? A, when someone tells you no, you should hear yes. B.
Oh, boy.
B, you can do anything unless you're a weakling. Or C, if something seems impossible to you, just consider the fact that I became a movie star.
Wow, they're all compelling.
They are. And dare I say, Ben, inspirational.
Well, gosh, I'm just going to go with C.
You're going to go with C. If something seems impossible, just consider the fact that I became a movie star?
Yes.
Well, I wonder if he thinks it's that unlikely.
That was his destiny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you guys trying to get me to change to B?
I will point out that I'm a really big fan. If I didn't mention that before.
What was B?
B was, you can do anything unless you're a weakling.
That's probably what he said, but I like C. I'm going to stick with C.
Really?
I think that's better. Wait. Let's try it. Hold on.
A was, when someone tells you no, you should hear yes.
Oh, that explains a lot.
Maybe if Ben hears it in Arnold's voice.
All right, I'll try that.
Oh, Carl.
Carl should.
All right, Carl. Can you, Carl?
When someone tells you no, you should hear yes.
Okay, well, he said it so well, I'm going to go with A.
You're going to go with A. When someone tells you no, you should hear yes. And you're right! That is an Arnold Schwarzenegger motto for success. Carl, how did Ben Folds do in our quiz?
Well, Ben had two correct answers, so he wins for Kathy Erskine. Congratulations,
Ben. Well done,
Ben.
The new Ben Folds 5 album is called The Sound of the Life of the Mind. Ben Folds, what a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining us at Where We Come From.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Ben. Bye-bye.
She stays at school so that she can hear.
Thanks, everybody. In just a minute, Carl shows you why our Listener Limerick Challenge game is a victimless rhyme. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Moz, a new study from Japanese researchers shows that watching cat videos at work makes you what?
Crazy.
No.
Oh. Watching cat videos at work makes you fat?
No. It's good news.
It's good news.
It's good news.
Oh, makes you smart.
Makes you, well, you're at work. What's a good thing to
productive.
Be at work?
Productive.
Yes, watching cat videos makes you more productive, according to this study. So you think you're just a bored worker passing the time with kitten videos? No, you're increasing your productivity. You think you're just a crazy lady living at home with 9 cats? You are. This study has nothing to do with you. What happened was, Japanese scientists found that workers who watch kittens and other cute baby animals on the internet are more focused and productive the rest of the day. And your business becomes even more productive if you can teach the kittens Microsoft Excel.
Is that because they watch the video and then they're like, oh, so cute?
Yeah, they're sort of cheered up. They're energized because of the cuteness.
What, that, you know, again, Peter, with the study, why would anybody even do such a study? I mean, what would make someone go, what's the effect of cat videos on workers?
Well, I imagine they might start with the premise that a lot of people are watching cat videos at work. We might as well find out what effect it is having on them.
I see what you're saying. So their boss came in while they were watching cat videos and said, what the hell are you doing? You're not doing anything. They said, oh, but we are. We are doing a study.
We're being productive.
Amy, thanks to a new development, farmers can now get text messages from whom?
Oh, they're cows, of
exactly
course.
Exactly right, yes. This is exciting. Some farmers in Switzerland are trying out new technology that sends a text when a cow is in heat and ready to mate. This saves a lot of time for farmers who for centuries have had to trudge down to the barn and check for themselves, a process that was as embarrassing for the cows as it was for the farmers. Much less traumatic is sitting down to dinner with your wife, you're all relaxed at the end of the day, and then you get a sext from Daisy the milk cow. What do sex from cows seem like? I'm tired of chewing just cud. Hey, I left my barn door open. I'm wearing leather. How about you?
Milk me now.
Moz?
What? Milk
that
me now?
That was really naughty.
That's not naughty.
Very naughty.
I'm talking about milking.
Yeah, in the hand motion.
Oh, don't make the gesture, Moz.
Poor farmers.
Oh. Paula.
Yes.
Scientists in Britain recently conducted a study.
Yeah, baby.
To narrow down human personality types, and they made an amazing discovery.
There's two kinds.
There are. There are people who believe in studies, and then there's you. Now, this study found that you can tell a lot about a person based on the way they do what?
Oh. Prepare their eggs.
Exactly right.
What?
You knew that. Very
I
good.
Did. Were you in that study?
Yes. Yeah. The study was conducted by MindLab International. It determined the following. This is according to MindLab. Boiled egg eaters are disorganized. Fried egg eaters are typically young, male, and promiscuous. Scrambled egg eaters are guarded office workers in managerial positions who own their own homes, and omelet eaters are disciplined and tidy. So remember, guys, if you're out on a date with a girl and she orders fried eggs, she's a man. But congratulations, dudes, on making it to breakfast. Turns out there's one more. People who eat their eggs soft-boiled for exactly 3 minutes, served in a bone china cup by a faithful servant at precisely 8:30 a.m. in the morning, are the Republican nominee for president.
Yeah, you know what? Here's the thing with the studies. I don't need these studies. I didn't go to college, and clearly I didn't need to. Because I sense all this intuitively.
You sense the egg thing intuitively,
oh,
you know?
Absolutely, as well as the cat video thing and every study you've ever spoken of. I already knew the findings without completing such a study because I have eyes and ears and I'm out in the world and I see the people eating the eggs. Peter, you've got a little yolk right here.
Yeah, I understand.
Oh. If this had come out of the Waffle House, I think you'd question the findings.
<That's right. laughs> Coming up, it's lightning fill in the blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924, or click the Contact Us link on our website. That's waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and our upcoming show at the Riverside Theater in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, November 15th. Hey, Milwaukee. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey, this is Scott in Seattle.
Hey, Scott in Seattle. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Peter?
I'm fine. How are you doing? How are you doing today? You sound a little matter of fact.
It's one of those days.
I understand. What's going on, dude?
You know what? He sounds like the president the other night. Hey, Mitt Romney. Good to see you. Thanks, Jim, for the question.
Well, Scott, welcome to the show. Carl Castle right now is going to read for you three news-related limericks. He is not going to complete them, of course. That is your job. Do that two times out of three. You'll win Carl's voice in your home answering machine. You ready to play?
Oh, yes.
Oh, again. You got to get up for this, Mr. President, or you're going to lose this thing. Here we go. Here is your first limerick.
As the dentist is filling my grill, my hips move and I can't sit still. I groove and I sway as he fixes decay, because music comes out of his...
drill.
Yes, his drill. A dental surgeon in Java has created the world's first musical dental drill. The idea is that those afraid of the dentist will be okay with someone lowering a drill bit spinning at 45,000 RPM into their mouth. If that drill is playing, Call Me Maybe. But it is very important in the dental context to choose the right song. For example, this isn't easing anybody's mind if it comes out of a drill. Feel the tension rising. Not going to work. And this is definitely unsettling. Okay, maybe something that'll put you right to sleep. Okay, open wide. Carl's giving me a look. All right, very good. Here is your next limerick.
From the Veep's sex appeal, there's no hiding. As he ambles on stage, old eyes widen. Those baby boom ladies, he drives them all crazy. They've all got a thing for Joe
Biden.
Yes, indeed. According to Politico, that venerable judge of sexiness, Joe Biden is considered a sex symbol among the 65 and older set, or as they're known, granny boppers. It's a lot of, I've fallen and I can't get up, so get down here, Mr. Vice President.
He's super sexy.
He does. He has the most perfect teeth I've ever seen in a national figure.
You know,
really
he
good.
Eats an over-easy egg.
All right, very good. Here. Fred, I'm not going there. I'm not going to the vice president's egg preference. I don't know what it means. Here is your last limerick.
For vacation plans, I have slim pickings, because my poultry at home just might sicken. But I found them a perch. They're not left in the lurch. I have found a hotel for my...
chickens.
Yes, indeed. Chickens. A new British hotel caters exclusively to chickens who do not want to stay with their vacationing farmers. The chickens, and this is all true, are pampered with meals of fresh vegetables, joyrides in the hen stroller, sightseeing excursions, and visits to the pub. Everything was going great when the hotel opened until the first paying guests came down to breakfast and encountered the omelet bar. Carl, how did Scott do in our quiz?
Well, Scott, you had three correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your voicemail or home answering machine.
All right. Well done.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thanks, Peter.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill-in-the-Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
Amy Dickinson has 4 points. Peter, she has the lead. Paula Poundstone and Maz Jobrani, they both have 2 points, and they're in second place.
All right. We flipped a coin. and Paul is elected to go second. So, Maz, you are up first. The clock will start when they begin your first question. Fill in the blank. Ben Bernanke said that the country is facing a fiscal cliff, and without congressional action, the average person's blank could go up by $3,500.
Taxes.
Yes. After a bitter dispute with Rahm Emanuel that led to a seven-day strike, the teachers' union in blank ratified a new three-year contract.
Chicago.
Yes, police arrested seven crew members from two boats after a deadly ferry accident in blank this week.
Hong Kong.
Yes, rescue workers in Scotland were forced to rescue a pedestrian who blanked last weekend.
Flew.
Got his head stuck in a public trash can.
Ah.
Family Guy creator Seth MacFarlane was named on Monday as the host of the 2013 blank ceremony.
Oscars.
Yes. The Weather Channel announced this week that they're planning to start blanking winter storms.
Predicting?
No, naming them, just like hurricanes.
That would be cool.
That would be cool. A rapper hired to play a promotional event at an Atlanta Microsoft store upset officials when he blanked.
Rapped?
No. When he shouted, F these computers, and then destroyed a bunch of them. The rapper said what any of us who have used a Microsoft computer have said, then jumped on a display table and did what any of us who have used a Microsoft computer have wanted to do. Carl, how did Maz do in our quiz?
Maz had four correct answers for 8 more points. He now has 10 points, and Maz has taken the lead.
All righty, then. Well done, Maz.
Thanks.
Next up is Paula. Here we go. Paula, fill in the blank. A judge in Pennsylvania issued an injunction to prevent the new blank law from being enforced during November's election.
Voter ID.
Right. On Thursday, Turkey's parliament authorized military actions against blank.
Syria?
Yes. Marissa Meyer, CEO of Yahoo, is taking 1 or 2 weeks of leave after blanking on Monday.
Having a baby?
Yeah. The Australian Health Department is recalling its new anatomy posters because they accidentally blank.
Show private parts.
No, they mix up the lungs and the stomach, and they mislabel the ovaries as kidneys.
That was my second guess.
Public Enemy, Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, and the Marvelettes are among the musicians nominated for induction into the blank this week.
I don't know, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Yes, indeed. During a show last weekend in Arizona, pop star Justin Bieber blanked while on stage.
I believe he threw up.
He did. A British supermarket reported this week that their blank has been stolen.
The British supermarket, what was stolen there? Their English muffins.
A theft deterrent cardboard cutout of a policeman. The 6-foot tall cardboard cutout was put in the local Sainsbury's to deter shoplifters from stealing merchandise. Unfortunately, he didn't deter shoplifters from stealing him. No ransom demand has been made, but police say to get their fake policeman back, they're willing to pay any amount of fake money. Carl, how did Paula do in our quiz?
Paula had 5 correct answers for 10 more points. She now has 12 points, and Paula has taken the lead.
Very well done. So, how many does Amy need to win?
4 to tie, 5 to win outright.
All right, Amy. This is for the game. Here we go. 3 weeks after the attack, FBI investigators examined the destroyed consulate in blank.
Libya.
Yes. California Governor Jerry Brown signed a bill this week protecting minors who are blank from conversion therapy.
Okay.
Yes. Because of the weak economy, former third-party presidential candidate and billionaire blank warned this week that the U.S. could be taken over.
Ross Perot.
Yes. On Thursday, Mark Zuckerberg announced that the social networking site blank has more than 1 billion active users each month.
Facebook.
Right. Health inspectors shut down a restaurant in Kentucky after witnesses noticed employees blanking.
Does it involve the fryolator?
No. It involved the employees wheeling roadkill back to the kitchen.
Oh!
In an auction last weekend, 2 guns belonging to Depression-era outlaw couple blank went for over $500,000.
Bonnie and Clyde?
Yes, indeed. NASA scientists announced Thursday that the Curiosity rover will scoop up the first sample of soil from blank this weekend.
Mars?
Yes. A Pennsylvania driver blew his chance to get out of his 7th DUI when he told police he had only swerved to blank.
He'd only swerved to avoid hitting the six-pack in the road.
No, he had only swerved to avoid hitting the pink elephant in the road. Samuel Phipps told police he swerved to avoid a pink elephant looming right there. Considered as that was, Phipps was arrested and charged with driving Wally cliche.
Right.
Carl, did Amy do well enough to win?
She needed 5 correct answers to win. She had 6 correct answers. So, 6 points. Amy Dickinson is district champion.
In just a minute, we'll ask our panelists to predict what we will find out President Obama was writing during that debate. But first, let me tell you that support for our Chicago shows is provided by Hyatt Hotels in downtown Chicago. Booking information is at Hyatt.com. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the National Association of Realtors, an advocate for homeownership. More at houselogic.com/homeownership. The Wallace Foundation, a source of ideas for expanding learning opportunities beyond the school day at wallacefoundation.org. And the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives at gatesfoundation.org. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, Benevolent Overlord. Philip Godica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our assistant house manager is Tyler James Green. Our volunteer coordinator is Ray Teresi. Our intern is Leah Menzer. Our web group is Beth Novi. Engineers include Les Stolarczyk and Mohammed Mao. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. BJ Liederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Walchover and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Lorna White. Our production coordinator is Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer, his name is Ian Chillag, and the executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mr. Michael Danforth. Now, panel, what will we find out that Mr. Obama was writing so studiously during the debates? Maz Jobrani.
Who would name their kid Mitt?
Amy Dickinson.
Dear Big Bird.
Aw. Paula Poundstone.
Dear Michelle. Happy anniversary. If this debate was split screen, I'd be really screwed, huh?
If we find out the president was doing any of that, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Maz Jobrani, Amy Dickinson, and Paula Poundstone. Great to see you all. Thank you all of you for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. We'll see you next week. This is NPR.